To the eternal credit of W.C. Handy, he carefully explained in writings and interviews where he found the original sources of his blues. He always said that he was amalgamating and organizing into his own compositions snatches of words and music he'd collected from rural African-American culture at about the turn of the 19th century, at a time when mainstream society had no interest in or understanding of the blues as a musical form. Handy's greater significance can be appreciated by considering his pioneering contribution, preserving, interpreting, and popularizing the blues, helping bring it to a worldwide audience. A vast body of popular music has grown from the seeds planted by W.C. Handy early in the 20th century. Next, Handy tells us about the origins of his Memphis blues, as we hear the melody played by Paul Lingle.
In telling the story of the blues, there are so many who do not know that back in the 90s, I was the head of a minstrel band that toured the United States, Canada, Cuba, and Mexico. And we always played an hour of classical concert music on the square. There are people who think that the blues sprang into being without a proper musical foundation, but this is not the case. I went to Memphis. I had in my band some of the best musicians in the country, but we couldn't get work to do. There were two favorite bands in the town, Bynum and Eckford's. There was a mayor campaign coming on, a three-cornered contest. The other two bands were hired by two candidates, which left my band open to be hired by those who managed the campaign of Mr. E.H. Crump, who was running for mayor. The bands played the popular music of the day, New York hits, and I knew that a band of strangers playing the same music wouldn't get as much recognition as if we would write something of our own that would give us a stamp, a certain stamp. And I wrote a little tune that I called Mr. Crump, because Mr. Crump was running on a clean-up ticket. He was going to drive out gambling and drive out other things with which gambling was associated. And there were those among us who didn't believe he was going to do what he said he was going to do. You know how things are today. So we made up a little song called Mr. Crump, and it stopped the traffic, stenographers danced with their bosses, men ran up to the band to know what's the name of that, and we said it's Mr. Crump. We had to play it over and over and over. And Mr. Crump got elected. And Memphis grew so that if a band couldn't play Mr. Crump, they couldn't get a job. And then later, I published this number, and I couldn't use Mr. Crump's name, as he'd become the boss of Tennessee politics. So I changed the name from Mr. Crump to the Memphis Blues, which was the first blues published. And the Memphis Blues carried the first jazz break for the tenor saxophone. Folks have just been down to Memphis town. That's where the people smile on you all the while. Hospitality, they were good to me. I couldn't spend a dime, I had the grandest time. I went out a-dancing with the Tennessee deer. They had a fella there named Handy with a... Thank you.
There have been many, many tributes to W.C. Handy over the years. His pioneering work, collecting, writing, and publishing blues, has been widely recognized for more than seven decades. And like that Atlanta blues, many of Handy's songs were around a long time before he published them. Others were merely obscure fragments that probably would have been lost for all time had he not incorporated them into his music and his skillful compositions. He collected blues, folk songs, and spirituals during nearly a quarter century of traveling widely, beginning around 1890, organizing and publishing them as written compositions. To Handy's eternal credit, he always attributed his African-American culture as the source of his music and inspiration. Now, during this program, I'll be exploring in depth the history and origin of Handy's biggest hit, St. Louis Blues, and we'll hear many different interpretations of his most durable classic. Here's something from a fascinating radio series on NBC that was called, I guess with tongue slightly in cheek, the Chamber Music Society of Lower Basin Street. The June 16th, 1940 broadcast was a tribute to the composer, with Handy as a guest trumpeter and commentator.
Mention W.C. Handy, and the mental reaction is immediately the St. Louis Blues. He wrote, "Since childhood, I have been able to write down snatches of melody, and this ear training enabled me to transcribe Negro idioms and characteristics. In 1914, a troubled time, I undertook to write a song which would embody the troubled times of one troubled person, using all I had known of the music of my own South. I didn't know whether white people would understand a sad blues song which also had wit and humor. I just wrote it, and I called it the St. Louis Blues. We now hear Dr. William Christopher Handy playing the trumpet in his own St. Louis Blues. Dr. Handy plays the first chorus, after which Dr. Levine and his Dixieland octet take over." Reached the intermission in today's concert by the Chamber Music Society of Lower Basin Street. We are privileged at this time to introduce as our guest commentator a composer whose works are as typically American as apple pie, a home run with three on. Well, there's nothing more typically American than W.C. Handy's St. Louis Blues. And here is Dr. William Christopher Handy.
Persons in every walk of life have said to me, "Handy, your blues will never die." As long as they say this, they are unconsciously contributing to the long life of the blues. One phonograph company refused for a number of years to record the St. Louis Blues, saying that the blues is only a fad and will soon die. This same company has made more recordings of St. Louis Blues than of any other American composition. Even the Encyclopedia Britannica, 1931 edition, added the blues and jazz to its pages.
Got the St. Louis blue, just as blue as I can be. That gal's got a heart like a rock cast in the sea.
Dun 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 dun. The Mills Brothers' remarkable a cappella recording of St. Louis Blues from 1932, and a bit of pianist Butch... St. Louis Blues was by far Handy's biggest hit. It provided him a handsome income throughout his life. St. Louis Blues is the most recorded jazz tune of the first half of the 20th century. For instance, I've checked Brian Rust's jazz discography for the years 1900 through 1942, and I found almost twice as many listings for St. Louis Blues as for any other composition. At least three motion pictures were made under the title St. Louis Blues: the 1929 short featuring Bessie Smith, a 1939 musical starring Dorothy L'Amour, and again with Nat Cole playing the role of Mr. Handy in 1958. Originally published by Handy under the titles Memphis Itch, Jogo Blues, it begins with a basic 12-bar blues pattern but then diverges. It consists of four separate strains, including one in tango rhythm. Like so much of Handy's music, it was inspired by his real-life experience. The line, "That man got a heart like a rock cast in the sea," he overheard on the street in St. Louis a decade earlier. And the song includes a three-note musical phrase that he had heard sung by parishioners in his hometown of Florence, Alabama. Here's a medley of notable recordings of St. Louis Blues, including a Chic Uptown treatment by Duke Ellington and a Down and Dirty rendition by Bob Wills. First, though, during World War II, deep in the tragic and frozen Moscow winter of 1943-44, the Polish band of trumpeter Eddie Rosner gathered around a microphone for what many consider to be the best jazz record ever made in the Soviet Union, and it was W.C. Handy's St. Louis Blues.
A black-headed woman, make a freight train, a jump the track.
What about that long tall gal? Then what you do, huh?
That long tall gal, make a bullfrog pull a jack. Yeah.
St. Louis Blues in a wide range of settings, from Bob Wills and his Texas Playboys, and Duke Ellington with vocalist Marion Cox, both from 1946 to Mr. Handy himself, and a Polish jazz band recording in Moscow in the dire winter of 1943. This is one of the earliest recordings of Handy's Aunt Hager's Children's Blues. It's Ladd's Black Aces in 1921, the year it was first published by Handy. Aunt Hager was originally conceived as a much slower, sadder tune by Handy, almost a dirge. He explained that it was based on a mournful musical motif he'd once heard sung by a washerwoman as she hung clothes one cold night, singing, "Your clothes looks lonesome, hanging on the line." Religious and biblical references are not unusual in Handy's music. For instance, the biblical figure Hagar, an Egyptian, was servant to Sarah, wife of Abraham. Because Sarah was barren, she gave Hagar to Abraham so that he could sire a child. And in his autobiography, Handy explained that Black Americans often spoke of themselves as Aunt Hager's children.
Old Deacon's Plevin, his flock was given the way of living right. Said he no winging, no ragtime singing tonight. Up jumped that Hager and shouted out with all her might. Different Hager's children harmonizing to that old mournful tune. It's like a choir from on high broke loose. If the devil brought it, the good Lord sent it right down to me. I'll let the congregation join while I play those loving Aunt Hager's blues.
Now, unlike a folklorist observing from outside his culture, W.C. Handy was part of the culture, giving him privileged access and deep insight. As with other black American artists like Langston Hughes, Zora Neale Hurston, Duke Ellington, or James Baldwin, he used the raw materials of black culture as a source and inspiration, adding to it with his own imagination, compassion, and genius for musical composition. W.C. Handy.
When we take these things that are own and develop them till they are the fine things, I think that's pure culture. You've got to appreciate the things that come from the heart of the Negro and from the heart of the man farthest down. The great European classics came from the peasantry of the countries in which these people lived. They didn't come from the kings and queens and the great theaters. It came from the man who dug deep into the hearts of the people he had come up with and loved. The man farthest down. History tells that.
Hello, Central. What's the matter with this line? I want to talk to that high brown of mine. Tell me how long will I have to wait. Beginning
around 1909, William Christopher Handy lived in Memphis for about a decade. By then, he'd traveled widely and was pretty well established as a musician and bandleader. There, he quickly became a popular musical celebrity and flourished, launching a company for publishing his own music, due partly to the success of his Memphis blues. Among his favorite venues was the wildest and rowdiest section of the Beale Street District. Now, the original Beale Avenue section of Memphis, Tennessee, arose after the Civil War as a respectable, predominantly black neighborhood of churches, homes, and a grand opera house. By the early 1900s, as Memphis became an important crossroads, it sprouted the notorious Beale Street area. By the time Handy arrived, it was a rough, sleazy, and lawless collection of taverns, splendid dance halls and entertainments, brothels and dives, filled with hustlers, pickpockets, lowlifes, pimps and prostitutes, along with working men spending their pay and rubes out for thrills. And it was that Beale Street scene which seems to have oddly fascinated Mr. Handy. When not working there, he loved to hang out, or jam with other musicians, or just watch the action. In his autobiography, Handy recounts hair-raising, appalling tales of brutality, cruelty, criminality, and mayhem that he fittingly memorialized in his classic Beale Street Blues. W.C. Handy.
I liked the life of Beale Street. It was exciting. So much so that I was 2 years trying to write a number called Beale Street, but I couldn't find words for it. One night, after leaving my office,
I passed by Peavy's saloon. Next to it was a barber shop. This barber shop was open, say, about 2 o'clock in the morning. I said, come on, let's go home. He says, I haven't closed up because ain't nobody got killed yet. And I struck myself and said, that's it, Beale Street Blues. And I went home and wrote the words to the Beale Street Blues that night.
Now all the many wonders, wonders of this world have seen. From San Francisco, clear down to New Orleans. I've even gambled on the Prado, strolled down through the Argentine. But if Beale Street could talk, if Beale Street could talk, there'd be a lot of married men who'd have to take their beds and walk. Except one or two who drink no booze, and the blind man on the corner singing the Beale Street Blues. You see pretty mamas in beautiful gowns, and you see chambermaids in their hand-me-downs.
So I hope this series has brought you, as it has me, a deeper understanding and appreciation of composer, folklorist, and an advocate for blues music, W.C. Handy, a man who helped bring forth the first bright flowering of those most American of art forms, blues and jazz. As we hear Duke Ellington's superb 1946 rendition of Beale Street Blues, I'll leave the final word to Mr. William Christopher Handy. That's Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Radlauer. Thanks for listening.
I'm thankful for being a part of an oppressed race and that I didn't follow the golden calf of music, but through adversity was thrown down amongst the lowly and took out of their hearts a song that caught the wings of the morning and fell on the world's weary ear and then found a place to cheer and comfort the heart of humanity.